And the emerging church was to become a prophetic voice in society. Now, the equality element, we dealt with some of that earlier in the year, and we're going to come back to that as well, because God pours out his spirit upon all flesh, upon all humanity. Come on now, male and female. It does not matter. God doesn't play that kind of religious church game that, you know, well, women can't do this in the church. That's foolish. But I want us to spend some time on this prophetic voice, because the only way this thing is possible is through a recognition, of course, that Jesus is Lord. But you also have to recognize the divine force, the act of presence, and the embodied nature of God that is in the Holy Spirit. And this is what I call, again, a spirit-infused life. Now, let's look at some of the kind of key concepts for the church as a prophetic voice. But in order to understand it, we have to kind of back up and recognize the foundation of our identity. If we're going to understand our prophetic voice, we have to understand the foundations of our identity just in Christ. So again, right here, I'm speaking specifically to Christians. If you're not, you know, a Christian, lean in, because this will give you, you know, more of, you know, kind of framework and understanding about what life with Christ really should be like and how it should look. First thing first is this. The result of Jesus' redemptive work created the opportunity for salvation. You realize that that's all it was, just an opportunity. God doesn't force anyone to be saved and be in relationship with him. That's why it's erroneous to think, say, or declare that God is in control. If God was in control, you'd have been born again before you knew it. Coming out the womb. Yeah, that's his heart. He wants to see all humanity saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But you have a choice, 100%. So the result of Jesus' redemptive work created the opportunity for salvation and produced the priesthood of believers. How many believers do I have here today? How many believers at home? You can raise your hand too. As a believer, you have now entered over into the priesthood of God. Now, that is not an insignificant thing, because when you look back at what God expected of the priest, and you have to go back now to the old covenant for that, you begin to get an understanding about what your role is today in the earth as a priest. And watch this. And you are a priest, male or female. Both are priests unto Almighty God when you come unto Jesus. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. But you are not like that. Come on, somebody say, I'm not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Come on now, you're a royal priest. Says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he calls you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Now, let's understand these seven things about priests when it comes to Old Testament. I'm just going to hit these very quickly. Number one is this. A priest represented the people to God. So when you think of the fact that as a believer, you are part of the priesthood of Almighty God, you are called to represent your family, your community, come on, your church, to God. Come on, your workplace. Amen. You represent it to God. You're the priest. You're the priest in that organization. There may be other priests there too, but you are definitely, is how you ought to be thinking. And you can't necessarily force any other priest to do what they're supposed to do. You just do you. Secondly, a priest petitioned God on behalf of the people. So when there were issues going on with the people, it was the priest's responsibility now to carry that concern and that petition and that desire to God. See, in that particular old, you know, covenant setting, everyone didn't have direct access to God. So the people had to depend upon the priest. Thirdly, the priest made sacrifice and offering to God. same thing God is expecting of us in this priesthood today. Fourthly, the priest sought God's forgiveness and favor for the community. Can you see something kind of a theme here? That the priests are not self-consumed. The priests are working on behalf of the community, working on behalf of the family. See, one of the things that is an absolute cancer to life with Christ is selfishness. It very much opposes your priestly nature. As a priest, you are outward thinking, outward living, outward focused upon others. So you seek God's forgiveness and favor for the community. I said for the community. So watch this. So not just, you know, your four that live in your door. No, for the community. Okay. Number five, the priests are the ones that handled the holy items within the temple. See, everyone couldn't handle the Ark of the Covenant. Everyone couldn't handle, you know, the showbread, and everyone couldn't handle the various elements that were in the holy place or the most holy place. Couldn't handle those things. It was reserved for the priests. See, watch this. Everyone in the world can't handle these holy things with God. You're the priest of Almighty God. That's why, come on, I'm gonna mess with somebody here. I'm just gonna say it. That's why, you know, Colin Kaepernick can't teach me social, you know, justice. This is a holy matter. I gotta get that from, watch this, the high priest. That's Jesus. Now, if you like Colin Kaepernick, that's all right. He's a good guy, I'm sure. But I need you to understand something. You're a priest, and when you are a priest, you're the one that's ordained to handle the holy things. And your instructions of how to handle them is supposed to come from the high priest, which is Jesus. The priests portrayed and reflected the nature and character of God to the community. The community is to understand who God is based upon, watch this, who the priests are reflecting, how the priests are reflecting. Now, that's good news for the church in one way, and it's bad news for the church. Because let's be candid. Can we be candid? The church, I'm just talking about the church, has not properly reflected God. And a lot of that is just because of ignorance in the church. Hosea said it this way, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, it's not because people just don't know, because if you keep reading the context of what Hosea said there, said they rejected the knowledge. They rejected it. It's a whole lot of that today, even within the church. Listen, I've been pastoring for a number of years, so I've seen it 100 times. I can show people, you know, 15, you know, 1,000 verses about this is how you want to conduct this. And people walk away like, well, I just believe. Just like, okay. There you go. You're reflecting your own thing. And it's almost, can we just talk? It would almost be better that we would be honest with people that way. Be like, you know what, the way I'm acting right now is really not God. You know, what I did right there, that really wasn't God. Okay. The priest led the community in celebrations and festivals. That was their role. They led them when it came to the Passover and the Festival of Weeks and, you know, so forth. This was their role. They led them in this celebration of worshiping God. Come on now. How are you doing in leading your community in honoring God? How are you doing in leading your community in worshiping God? Now, your community starts there at home first. That's your first little community. But don't get locked in there, because it goes much further. Come on now. Where you live, where I live, that's intentional. And we have to be intentional. How are we doing in leading our community in honoring God? How are we doing with leading our community at work in honoring God? Watch this. I'm just going to ask. Does everyone at work know that you even honor God? Man, I mean, 007 Christian's been around for a long time. Come on, undercover. You would never know. All right. Peter, I love this, in the verse that we just read in verse 9, he describes our priestly purpose kind of in a new covenant context. And he says this, the purpose of our priesthood is to reflect to the world the goodness, glory, majesty, and love of God. Come on, we're supposed to be reflecting God's goodness, God's glory, God's majesty, God's love. Now, how do we do this? Well, what does it look like? Well, of course, we shine by reflecting the character of God every place that we go in all that we encounter. It's this case of this living out our priestly responsibility. So the moment you have said I do to Jesus, this all becomes a part of your responsibility because you are a priest now. And listen, and it's not optional. You don't get to kind of go in and out of it if you feel like it. Well, I don't like that part. Let me speak on behalf of God for you. So what? Okay, we over in one of these kind of, you know, flows this morning. So I'm just gonna be here. It doesn't matter whether we feel like it or not. Listen. Let me say this, and I hope you receive this well. Your feelings will get you killed. That stuff will get you killed. Following your feelings. Don't fall for that trap. It's a demonic influence manipulating you in an area where you're weak. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on. Breathe in some of that goodness. Come on. Let's pass around. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're good unto me. Come on now. Go ahead and breathe out some praise unto him. Yeah, we bless you, Lord. Thank you for speaking truth to us, Daddy. We receive it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's the priesthood. But now here's where I really want to go. I've been waiting to get here all month. The result of Pentecost, though, launched the baptism of the Holy Spirit and produce the prophethood of believers. So we got a priesthood. When you say, I do to Jesus, you become a priest. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become a prophet. Oh. Ah. What's the significance here? As a believer in Christ who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have a God-inspired, a God-ordained, a God-infused ability to declare on God's behalf and experience God's results. You declare on God's behalf and you get God's results. Now, listen, let me just preface all this. This is a place where a lot of the church checks out. There's a ton of churches all over the planet. They check out here. They cannot. They see Pentecost, but they don't want to experience. They don't want to embrace Pentecost. So if you listen to people long enough, you can find and locate them. Their gospel story ends with Jesus' resurrection. And they'll talk about, oh, Jesus resurrected, he's good, and he ascended. But yeah, that's true, but that wasn't the end of things. There was a Pentecost that came that shifted everything. Acts chapter 2. In that Pentecost, so you remember, it's 120. Men and women, it's 120 in the upper room, they're praying. Come on, I think they were coming off of like 21 days of prayer, like, you know, us. And they're praying. And they're in this upper room, and then now the Spirit of God comes. The promise that Jesus spoke to them comes now, shows up, and it's tangible because it's like cloven tongues of fire coming to rest upon them. And it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people from different cultures, backgrounds, and languages began to hear them praising God in their own language, and they knew that they didn't know the language. So everyone is like, what is going on? So this is what we looked at last week, remember? So they're like, oh, they just drunk. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He always wants to try to discredit what God is doing, try to belittle it, try to shame you. And Peter's like, man, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Ain't nobody drunk like you think. That ain't the case at all. And he begins to lay out things, and then he starts to connect what the prophet Joel said hundreds of years before him. In verse 16, it says, Know what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Ooh, glory. Let's understand real quickly what prophesy means, or prophecy. Prophesy with the S is the verb. Prophecy with the C is the noun. That's the distinction when you see the two. Prophesy is to speak, utter, or declare as prompted or directed by God. That's prophecy. To speak, utter, or declare as directed by God. Prophecy is to speak, utter, or declare as prompted or directed by God. More specifically, it is to declare on behalf of God concepts, events, experiences that point to the future but are grounded in the present. Let me say that part again. You see it. More specifically, it is to declare on behalf of God concepts, events, and experiences that point to the future, but they're grounded in the present. Take, for example, you're looking to buy a house. Well, the average person, the normal person, doesn't wake up, you know, one day and say, you know what, I'm just going to go buy a house today. There's typically a planning process. It's just like, okay, I'm going to buy a house. And maybe now the plan is to buy it next year or later this year, or whatever the case may be. But then watch this. The moment that decision has become anchored, you begin to restructure and structure your life to bring that to pass. So if you're planning on taking out a mortgage, you know, already, you know, now start looking into that. What's the mortgage rate? You understand, wait a minute, the bank needs, you know, to see the money in the account. So I need to make sure I got my money in the account, not hiding it under the mattress. Let the church say, man, come on. You know, we got it in there. Come on. We got it in there. So you're acting in such a way that what is clearly futuristic is grounded in your present day. Can you see this? This is the heart behind prophecy. Life, again, is structured and restructured based upon that decision to buy a house, or watch this, based upon the prophecy. Prophecy, therefore, is designed to inspire you to live today in a way that anticipates a specific tomorrow. You're living today in a way that anticipates something specific tomorrow. You're not just hoping for things to be better tomorrow. You got a specific tomorrow in your focus. We got a new house. We're going to work this thing. That's the nature of prophecy. But now understand this about, you know, prophecy. Is that prophecy comes by way of a Holy Spirit-inspired utterance. Prophecy comes by way of a Holy Spirit-inspired utterance. Without that utterance from the Spirit of God, there is no prophecy. Let's distinguish this between a believer's God-given right and authority. A Christian can always speak, declare, and decree a thing, but there is something undeniably transforming when the words that you speak are inspired directly from heaven. See, that's prophecy. See, any day of the week, you can get up and declare, you know what, this is going to be a day of favor and blessing over my life. You can say that anytime you want. There doesn't have to be an utterance from the Spirit of God. But when you do get an utterance from the Spirit of God, it's a shifter. It's a game changer. But you got to know how to seek him for that. When you understand this utterance, these are living, explosive, dynamic words that come directly from God. And when released or spoken in faith, they cannot be denied. When released and spoken in faith, watch this, all natural barriers and limitations are destroyed. When prophecy is spoken, it's destroyed. It's destroyed. See, this is the significance behind Pentecost. That we're priests, but Pentecost says, yeah, but now you're prophets too. You have the ability to now speak on God's behalf and get God's results. That now lies within you. Somebody say, I receive that. Think of it this way. It's really the difference between what I would call thermostat living and thermometer survival. We all know about a thermometer. What does a thermometer do? It reads the temperature in the room. I remember growing up, we had a thermometer outside our kitchen window. So I could walk up to the sink and look, and it would tell me what the temperature is outside. So if mama was like, it's too cold to go out there and play, you know, football, I'd be like, oh, no, mama, it's 62 degrees. The thermometer tells me what the condition is. Thermostat, though, is different. Thermostat doesn't tell you what the condition is. Thermostat now is equipped to cause the condition to change to what it dictates. The thermometer reflects the temperature in the room. It, watch this, let's put it in this case. It indicates how we feel. That's the thermometer. The thermostat, again, dictates to the environment. And most thermometers today, or thermostats today, like the one I have in my house, it's built with a thermometer in it. So on the left side is the thermostat temperature. On the right side is the thermometer reading. So I come home and it's 80 degrees in the house on the right side. That's the thermometer. What do I do? What did my daughter do? Come on, we begin to push that thing down. We bringing it down about 76, 70 something. And what happens? The compressor kicks on. And now regardless, watch this, of how you feel in there, which is 80 degrees, the thermostat goes to work to change it to what it declares. See, this is the nature of prophecy. See, prophecy shifts it to what God has said. You can't get caught, though, living like a thermometer. And watch this. If you hang around a lot of thermometer people, you'll be constantly in your feelings, too. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to get rid of all your friends. Don't do that. But at some point, watch this. At some point, you got to become a strong enough thermostat that when you do come around your friends, watch this, their temperature is adjusting to you. Oh, glory. So I like that thermostat. That thermostat is calling for a specific temperature. And it calls for that temperature. Watch this, the compressor is working aggressively until your thermometer matches your thermostat. The thermostat will not stop until your thermometer matches the thermostat. You got to understand something here, that your mouth is your thermostat. Your faith is that compressor, and your mind is the thermometer. Come on now, the thermostat of your mouth, now watch this, that has heard what God says and now says what God says has to stay active. Your compressor, that faith, that's the energy, it's got to stay active and aggressive, and you stay there, watch this, until your mind comes in agreement with what God says. It's thermostat, you know, living, baby. But most people just survive off of thermometer. That's not what God's called you to. Thank you, Lord. So here's how we will try to close this out. How do you capture or recapture your prophetic voice? For some, it's recapturing. For many, it's capturing because you've never really seen yourself as a prophet. To say that sounds strange. Because a lot of church backgrounds will even say, there's no prophets, there's no prophet in that. And we're not saying that you're called to this office of a prophet. I'm not saying I'm a, you know, called to the office of a prophet, but I'm a part of the prophethood of the kingdom. How to capture or recapture your prophetic voice? Number one is this. If you're going to do so, you can't sit in silence and accept less than God's best. If you're just okay with how it's going, then your voice will never come. Because you're okay. You're okay. Watch this. You're okay. It's kind of like if the thermostat is set to 78 and the thermometer reads 78. Thermostat's okay. I don't need to do anything. So if you're okay with just how it is, then you'll never be able to recapture your voice. You got to be able to look at your thermometer, or let me put it in these terms. You got to be able to look at your feelings and those feelings that you can, you know, quite easily get into and say, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that anymore. And I'm not okay with the conditions that I've been seeing and things that are going on. I'm not okay with that. You have to have a sense of indignation on the inside. You cannot sit in silence and accept less than God's best. Number two, you got to seek God for your own Pentecost. You got to seek him for your own Pentecost. Now, if you've had it, praise the Lord. And watch this. And you should continue to have it. See, that's the whole thing that you'll understand about, you know, about Pentecost is that it's a refilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This thing is a renewal. It's not just a one-time event. It's a renewal. But you got to seek God for your own Pentecost. See, I got news for you. Your wife's Pentecost is not going to get it for you. Your husband's Pentecost is not going to get it for you. Your pastor's Pentecost, they ain't going to get it for you. You got to seek God for your own Pentecost so that you can enter over into this prophethood of believers. Number three, then, is embrace the reality that God desires to give you divine words every day. God desires to give you divine words every day. Come on. He desires to give you that utterance every day. Now, as I mentioned earlier, just as a Christian, you can always, you know, declare a thing. We call those things that be not as though they were. Come on now, we say a thing, we believe in our heart, and we have what we say. You can always do that, and that's fine. But what you're looking for in this case is kind of that, those words now that kind of hit you from nowhere. It's just like, boom, kind of, you know, light up on the inside of you that you begin to speak. And I got news for you. Watch this. Sometimes it can be the same words you've been saying over and over and over. But you hit a moment, watch this, where the Spirit of God lights it up. See, just like what we've been declaring, Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022, praise God. Now watch this. You can stay over in that and stay over in that and slip right over into an utterance of the Holy Ghost. Now, once that happens, see, now barriers have been broken. Obstacles have been removed. There's still things that have to be done, but those are life-changing words now. Number four, be confident in your ability to hear from God to prophesy over your life. If you're not confident in it, it's always going short-circuit. Even if the Spirit of God endeavors to give you an utterance, your mind will talk you out of it. So you have to be confident and say, you know what? I know. I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. Come on, ain't nobody on this planet God loves more than me. So you got to have some confidence in your ability to hear from God and to prophesy over your life. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It does not matter. So you can be a student. You can be a child. You can be 109 years old. It doesn't matter. Be confident. Number five, is pray for divinely inspired, spirit-infused words for your specific situation. So now you, again, this is the part of kind of actively seeking now. Now you're praying for these divinely inspired, spirit-infused words for your specific situation. So you're dealing with something, and there's a financial obligation that you know right now you don't have the natural resources to be able to deal with. How do you respond to that? You begin now to seek God for, okay, God, what do you say here? What is it that's from you? I'll say what you say about this. And you seek God for, you know, this specific, you know, situation. And now God is obligated. I said he's obligated to give you the words that will turn that around. Number six. Let me say this with that sense of obligation. How can I say that? Part of God's nature, character, is that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord God who sees in advance, and he gives the provision. See, here's the thing where the church, we miss it a lot of times. A lot of times we're looking for the provision to be the money. God says, no, the provision, a lot of times, is the words I'm giving you. Receive the words, speak the words, and the money will come. All right. Number six, when you receive a divine utterance, embrace it with your faith and speak only what you hear. You know, a good example to look at is in Ezekiel chapter 37. You know, where God is dealing with the prophet, and he gives him specific things to say, and all Ezekiel does is just say what he heard. And if you look at it, it's not long. See, a lot of times we think the longer it is, the more it must be from God. He might just give you three words on that situation. And you know what you say? Three words. You don't say two. You don't say one. You don't say five. You don't say 30. You just say the three words. You remember when the man came, you know, to Jesus, you know, about his servant, you know, being sick, and he says to Jesus, speak the word only. Now, a lot of times we mess that up and be like, yo, yeah, he meant speak the Bible verse. That's not what it meant. Here's what he understood. If you utter it, if you speak the utterance, then everything has to change. I know you have the authority, so if you speak it, then it has to change. So he goes to Jesus, watch this, seeking an utterance. And Jesus did, and his servant was healed. Just say what he says. And then lastly, live in such a way today that demonstrates your anticipation of the prophecy's fulfillment. Live in such a way today that anticipates it. That anticipates it. You know, using the house example, come on. You start looking at new furniture. So, you know, you can't get a new house and not get new furniture. Come on, you start looking at new furniture, you know, all kind of stuff. Oh, man, maybe some new carpet. Man, we're going to do some painting. I'm looking. You start living today anticipating the fulfillment. But that's how prophecy is. You live today in anticipation of this being fulfilled. In other words, you live today like you already got it. That's how you live. This is a spirit-infused life. We are thermostats, not thermometers. Tell your neighbors that you look better as a thermostat, not a thermometer. Come on now, there we go. So we end right here. Matter of fact, come on, stand up with me on this point. We're just going to end right here with this priestly blessing, prophetically spoken. This was a blessing now that was given for Aaron and his sons to declare over the community. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, it says it this way. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. He says, listen, this is what you tell Aaron and his sons to do. This is what you tell them to do. Bless the people with this special blessing. So come on, I want you to just lift up your hands. Come on, at home too, lift up your hands to receive this priestly blessing today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his shalom. Somebody say, I receive that. Yeah, I receive that. Praise God. But then watch this though. It says, whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. This is God talking. God says, when the priests open up their mouth and declare the blessing, God says, I get engaged to make sure what they say comes to pass. I'm the force behind it. So if you say it, I'm going to be the energy to bring it to pass. That's the same function as the priest, and that's the same function as the prophet as well. But the key is right here, get the right words. Get the right words from heaven. And once you got them, you say them. You say them. And let me help you. It may take you a minute to get your faith engaged when you say it. Because I'm telling you right now, your mind's going to be going all over the place. Well, is that really God? That's just me? You know, I don't know. Stay there with it. Stay there with it. And receive God's best. Father, we honor you and bless your wonderful name. Come on, let's just bless him right here. We thank you so much, Daddy, that you've made us priests. You've made us prophets, praise God, in your kingdom. Yeah, that we can declare on your behalf and experience your results, sir. So help us, Daddy, every day to seek you, Father, for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit. Words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. Thank you, Lord God, that as a result, we know that all natural barriers and obstacles are removed and destroyed when your word is spoken. So we thank you for this. And we love you now. In the holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now do this. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. Come on. And believers are praying. Come on. The priesthood, the prophethood are praying. Listen. If you're watching or you're present and you don't have a connection, this relationship with Almighty God, then I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Maybe you're present and you're saying, you know what? I didn't understand that I was a priest. And I certainly didn't understand that I had a prophet ability on me. Well, listen, no shame. No shame. You didn't know. But now that you know, it's time to flow. It's time to flow. But if you're just outside of this place of walking with God, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. This is not about religion. This is about coming in connection with God and living a spirit-infused life. You may have heard it called and described as being saved or born again. That's God's heart for you. He just wants to be one with you because he loves you. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in prayer. If that's you, I want to pray for you and with you because that's the foundation for stepping into your priesthood and their prophethood. So whether you're at home or present, if that speaks to your heart and you desire my prayers, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven right there where you are? I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to pray with you. Come on, even at home, you're right, I can't see you, but your good, good Father can. Come on, lift it up right there where you are. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. I just want everyone lift up two hands under heaven. That's where our help comes from. Everyone, even at home, say this out loud with me. Father, thank you again for loving me so and giving to me your absolute best. Your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my everything. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you and magnify you for that today. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time out of the sincerity of your heart, I want to congratulate you. I want to encourage you now. Go ahead and take some next steps with Almighty God. Here's the first step to do. Right on your screen, you'll see coming up, you know, a number that you can text the word decided to. Text that, you know, word, you know, to the number on the screen so we can send you an electronic devotional that will help you in the decision that you made today. Plus, it'll just let us know that so we can be praying for you. So if you've done that, take that next step. The other next step I want to encourage you to get in on is our growth track. So we will have growth track next month on the first, second, third, and fourth Sunday, steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. You don't want to miss it. Get on the growth track. It will be a blessing to your life. Now, let me also say this before we kind of, you know, wrap in and shift here for a minute. If you are not living a spirit-infused life, so maybe you're kind of, you know, just kind of stuck in the priesthood component of being a believer. You just haven't really come over into that prophethood of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then listen, we want to be able to reach out and answer any questions that you may have. Because this is one area in the church that there's a lot of confusion. But we'd be glad, our ministers, leaders present, if you're online, if you just text the word spirit to the same number that's right there on the screen, 954-280-2076, text the word spirit or baptism. Actually, it's spirit in this case. Text the word spirit. And that will let us know someone will reach out to you just to help you in this. Every Christian should embrace Pentecost. Every Christian should have their own Pentecostal experience. Every Christian. And if you haven't, doesn't make you a bad person, but you're missing out on the fullness of what God has for you. I don't know about you. When I go to the restaurant and I order something, I don't appreciate they only bring me half my food. I want the full order, baby. I'm paying for everything, and I want it all. Come on, now, have that kind of attitude with your relationship with God. Like, I want it all. I don't want just half of it. I want the full thing. And that includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you have questions on that, we'll be, you know, available, present, you know, afterwards. Be glad to be able to connect with you and to help you. Praise God. Has God been good to anyone in here today? Do I have any priests in the house? Yeah. Do I have anyone in the prophethood in the house? Yeah. Amen. Praise God.